Jerry Pippin, and we're broadcasting from the UFO Congress. And Dr. Greer, we talk about the energy, the free energy part of this. In your communications and other people that you know who have had communications with extraterrestrials, do they have this problem too at one time or another?
I don't know if they had a problem with this. Who knows what the histories of those civilizations has been. I don't have that information. I think that I can say that, as Colonel Corso related, when he had an encounter with one of these ET beings at White Sands, a Holloman Air Force Base back in the 1956 period, and this extraterrestrial life form was asking him to do something to help shut down some of the electromagnetic systems that were targeting them at that time. By the way, the crash at Roswell wasn't an accident. This was an electromagnetic weapon system that affected that in the 40s. But the ET, when Corso said, well, what's in it for me if I help you? And kind of in a brash way, and he admitted that later in life as he got older and a little wiser. And the ET turned to him and said, a new world if you can take it. And you know what I tell people is that was 1956. I was a few months old when that event happened. And I think, my God, here we sit over half a century later, still destroying the biosphere. And a lot of people don't think of this. Every civilization goes through a natural course of technological evolution. But look around us. We may have high-tech electronics and fiber optics and integrated circuits, but the energy running these computers and lights and fiber optics, 57% of it still coming from coal-fired power plants like we had in the 1800s. The internal combustion engine that's running cars and airplanes and what have you is late 1800s technologies. Do people really believe there has been no development of energy and propulsion systems in the last 150 years? This is ludicrous. And so what I say to people is that this is all about economic hegemony, centralized geopolitical control, has nothing to do with what's capable technologically or scientifically, and it is a very dysfunctional situation. And I think that until people recognize what the root of the problem is, this little inconvenient truth that Al Gore talks about, the big inconvenient truth is that there is a solution, but people don't have the courage to embrace the solution. Because I personally briefed a senior officials who worked in Vice President Al Gore's office when he was the Vice President of the United States, and we asked him to take a leadership role into looking into this issue because he had already written a book called Earth in the Balance, and he did nothing, and the Clintons did nothing. And here we sit 10, 15 years later, still burning up the environment, in another oil war in the Middle East, our sons and daughters dying in Iraq, and it's a complete travesty. And the people need to know that at some point, we have to keep these people accountable and keep them honest.
Dr. Greer, we have another person with a question here.
Yes, I'm Dr. Moskos from Greece.
I had you on last year.
Yes, and I want to tell you an information. Just I received a message that yesterday the ancient Olympia has fallen a disc. The police, the Air Force, and everybody goes there to take the wrecks. I don't know if it's correct because I have not crossed it.
But where was this?
It's the ancient Olympia, if you know Greece.
In Bolivia?
Oh, no, ancient Olympia.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
Where the first Olympic Games.
Right.
776 okay. Before Christ. Well, I don't think that it will be a lie, but anyway,
well, I
just have in mind, because you every week I know that you are doing.
I get your gist. In other words, Dr. Greer, how long has this ET contact been going on?
There's been encounters and sightings of these extraterrestrial vehicles for, I believe, thousands of years that can be documented. I don't think this is a recent event. However, what's unique about the post-World War II era is that there have been the development of electromagnetic weapon systems that have been capable of not only tracking but targeting these vehicles and causing them to become disabled.
Yeah, let's
now
talk.
You know, this is there's a big misperception, mm-hmm. and the skeptics use this. Well, how would they travel through interstellar space? Suddenly they're flying over New Mexico or the Amazon or Greece or wherever it is, and they crash and have a flat tire or what have you, or the equivalent thereof. Well, that's not what's happening. I mean, one of the Air Force guys I'm working with, who's a colonel, said, oh, yeah, we have systems not only in space but based on ground that are tracking systems that are slaved to these horseshoe-shaped electromagnetic pulse generators that completely disrupt, because these spacecraft are electromagnetic and magnetogravitic devices, and they have been used to target and hit them and cause them to crash. So it isn't that they have 100% efficacy at achieving that, but it's happened often enough that it's of great concern. And I know that many years ago, when the Boutros-Ghali family were Secretary General of the United Nations with Boutros-Ghali, and I met with Mrs. Ghali, Leah Ghali, about this, and she was very concerned that this could be happening, that this could constitute the greatest threat to the security of the world and to world peace ever in recorded human history. And I said, yes, of course, and this is not speculation on my part. I have a number of men who have actually personally worked on those systems and been present during a tracking and targeting of these vehicles. And this is a tragedy, because instead of that happening, what we're suggesting is that through the CSETI protocols, we're saying, let's set up a vanguard of citizen diplomats that are humans who say, we're not going to be hostile towards you, we're going to make open contact, and we're going to do this with the purpose of peaceful intentions. But we're also saying to governments around the world and to the United Nations that they need to take a leadership role in that. Because without that leadership, open leadership on this subject, there's a vacuum. And into that vacuum steps people who have a worldview that is directed towards conflict and paranoia and hostility and, frankly, ignorance.
It seems to me that there's a certain element, and maybe the largest element, of the official military-industrial complex just as soon think they could take these ETs on.
I think that there's a very small element actually involved in those operations.
That's good to
remember,
hear.
Remember, this is very compartmented. I know
hear.
That when I was briefing the head of intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and when I was meeting with the head of the Defense Intelligence Agency at the Pentagon on this, these were folks who were very senior flag officers who were being denied this information. In one case, I gave the admiral the actual project code names and numbers that were current as of the 1990s for these operations. When he found one of them right there in the Pentagon, he was told he didn't have a need to know. And this is the admiral who at the time was J2, the head of intelligence joint staff. So what I say to folks is that many of our military leaders and political leaders have been victims of this highly compartmented operation, and it's out of control. The whole situation has been out of control, and it's been spinning out of control since the 1950s. And so to get it back under control is going to require a lot of courage and a lot of leadership that has been lacking, and we hope that we're going to be seeing some of that leadership and courage coming forward soon.
We have less than a quarter hour left with Dr. Stephen Greer. We'll be right back. I'm Jerry Pippin. This is the UFO Files.
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
This didn't look like anything I'd ever seen in my life.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippin Show.
Jerry Pippin, Dr. Stephen Greer is our guest. It's been very interesting. We're talking about a wide variety of subjects, and you've been around a wide variety of subjects with all of this for some time and some great contacts, which I'm very envious of for you from a reporter standpoint, Dr. Greer. You get people to talk. I guess they detect your sincerity or what? What's the deal?
Well, I think they know that the message that we're putting out there is the right one at this time. They know we're sincere. They know we're in this for the right reasons, and they know that we're going to stand by them. When we were doing this and having a lot of these folks come together, they were frightened. I mean, to the point their hands were dripping with sweat at some of the early meetings where we got these folks together. But what they saw was that we were going to stand there with them, and they weren't going to be alone, and that we weren't going to put this information out until we could do it in such a way that it would have such a high level of credibility. And that's why they've come forward and continue to come forward. I think they also know, the governments that we're working now around the world, they also know that, in a sense, the secrecy has overplayed its hand, that it's overextended its stay to the point that it's now becoming very obvious to anyone with any analytical capabilities to be able to see that we're having a civilization right now that's in deep trouble, and that there's no way out without a serious change in direction.
It seems to me that the way you're going to break the energy crisis or control or the lock they have on this and get to what the ET technology is nature's taking care of that. It looks like we're in pretty deep trouble.
We're in very deep trouble, actually, and more than they're telling people. And but there's the good news, the good news, and this is the message of hope, yeah, is that not only are the solutions already developed, but that the knowledge of how they can be applied in a way that's peaceful is there. This is a matter of people coming together and exercising their will to make the right choices and change things in the right direction. It isn't about, you know, worrying that everything has to go to a meltdown and that it's the end of everything. That doesn't have to happen. We have these solutions, and it's about coming together and making these solutions apply. And I want to point out, it's not just about the extraterrestrial technologies. There are scientists such as T. Townsend Brown, Tesla, many scientists, completely human, who had done technologies, developed technologies in the turn of the last century, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, that if they had not been also suppressed, would have been able to replace the centralized energy grid, the fossil fuel basis of our society, and what have you. So one point I want to make, knowledge is universal. And it isn't as if the laws of nature are only can be unraveled from another star system. Humans have the capacity to understand these technologies and develop them, and they have. The tragedy is that they've been intercepted by interests, powerful interests, who don't want them out. But 99.9% or more of humanity would benefit from this. Now, of course, if you own a $1 trillion oil field, this may not be the greatest news, but they've had their run and they have had their play. And it's time to now let another generation and another chapter of the human development take over. And the overstaying of the current paradigm, not only scientifically and technologically, but in consciousness and many other areas, is why the world is in such trouble. It is simply overstay. And so we can make this turn and get back on track. And when we do, we're going to see ourselves with a civilization on this planet that will be global, interplanetary, peaceful, and high-tech, extremely high-tech, very abundant, no pollution, and the complete elimination of poverty and want as we know it today. And this is something that can happen in a generation. I'm not talking hundreds of years. This is completely doable, and that's why I think this information is actually very positive, very hopeful to people.
Well, basically, to use an old slogan from the South, the horse is already out of the barn, so why lock the barn door? If you get enough people talking about this and demanding it, I don't know how they'll keep it secret forever.
Well, they haven't kept it secret. It's actually hidden in plain sight. What's been lacking is a course of action. This is why, you know, the Disclosure Project and the energy project that we're working, seizepower.com, is very action-oriented. It's enough describing the problem, and it's enough yakking about the solutions. It needs to be done. So I'm an emergency doctor by training, so, you know, I'm not one of these psychiatrists, psychologists, yak forever. No offense to those folks at all, but I'm very about getting things accomplished, and that's what needs to happen. We need to have leadership and people who will come to, not just me, but people who join with us to effect these changes and make this a reality. And it's a lot of hard work. It isn't just about fantasizing about this. People have to actually walk the walk on this. It's not always an easy path to walk, but it's the path we have to travel if we're going to create a civilization here that is worthy of the destiny of the human race.
Well, it sounds like a pretty good optimistic way to close the show, Dr. Greer. Our time's almost up. You have anything else you'd like to add before we wrap on it?
Well, I hope people will visit us at disclosureproject.org and csetti.org, and we'll see how they can help us, whether it's through contributions or through networking new military witnesses or scientists who have technologies or sources of funding support or contacts to government officials. This is all about getting the word out and creating this big network and educating each other, and that's what everyone can do, and I hope they'll join us and help us with this task.
You got any big news I can look forward to this year, a little exclusive or anything?
There's a lot of big news happening this year.
Okay, so we need to stay tuned.
Stay tuned,
huh?
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You very much, Dr. Greer.
Thank you. Glad
this
to be here.
This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from the UFO Congress in Laughlin. We'll be right back.
I'm Jim Morris, author of Alien Agenda, the world's top-selling nonfiction book on UFOs. I'm here today to tell you one of the most fascinating stories I've come across in my career as a journalist. The secret of Reg 8 is that so many people in one small American community now know that there is so much more to the universe than what we see and experience in our everyday world.
Save $5 this month when you purchase The Secret of Reg 8 DVD from ShopJerryPippin.com. This film won the prestigious People's Choice Awards at the 2004 UFO Conference. The Secret of Reg 8 will astound you. You will want to see it again and again. Save $5. Order it now, this month only, at ShopJerryPippin.com. Secret of Reg 8, a Linda Cowan production. This is Jerry Pippin. We're at the UFO Congress. We have an interesting woman here, Castera. Tell me about that last name.
Parasava.
You got a lot of vowels in there.
Yes.
You say this name means something.
Yes, it's based on and within the vibration of the sound current and is my essence name, which is soul, if that's what you feel comfortable with.
Now you, the reason we asked you to be on the show, you've actually had an ET language, is that right?
Or? Yes, it's the universal language or intergalactical language, which is based on and within the vibration of the sound current of existence itself.
And how did you come across it? You can decipher it, right?
Yes.
And how did that happen?
Well, a very special teacher came into my life by the name of Havar and was not from this planet, but from the planet Vyareva, and came to teach those students who were willing to listen and learn.
And where is this planet? What solar system or something? Do you know?
It's a little bit beyond our comprehension, and our scientists haven't found
it. Is it another dimension or something? Or is it just far away?
No, it's just far away.
Okay.
It's one of the planets we haven't discovered yet.
Now, your accent, where are you from?
I'm from the United Kingdom, England.
Okay.
Yes.
And you got interested in this when you had this contact, or were you already interested?
I was always interested. I knew that my life, I had a mission, as a lot of us do, a mission to reveal truth and to learn and grow and become all that we're capable of being.
Do you have the message, you have a message that you deciphered? Is that what the situation is?
No, the individual known as Havar spoke our language.
Okay. Can you read the message? And we've got to go, we're late.
Yes, the message is that the method of living on this planet is about to radically change. In 50 years, this world will not look the same as it does today, nor will it function in the same way. Land will sink beneath the oceans, while other lands shall rise. The population shall greatly decrease in this progressive stages. This has begun and shall continue with acceleration with the cataclysmic of the land, and I'm reading this, and continuing for a period of time thereafter until stability is reached. All of this is necessary for the restoration of the planet.
Okay.
And it goes on. Is, in other words, it's the Earth changes, and it's nothing to fear, but we need to learn about it and prepare. And each planet needs to do this for its own survival.
Okay. Thank you very much for coming on the show. We're out of time.
Thank you, Jerry.
Okay,
thank you, Roberta.
Bye-bye. With that, we'll close. This has been a show from the UFO Congress. Roberta Scott's our on-location producer. Our tape editor was Jane Swartley. Until next time, cheers.
The doors are finally open at ShopJerryPippin.com. Explore our new iShop. It's open and growing. You can use any major credit card or your checking account with our PayPal connection. Our first edition t-shirt selections features three different Jerry Pippin UFO files designs. In addition, we will be adding collector t-shirts from select UFO conferences, as well as several novelty items. Check us out at ShopJerryPippin.com.